Welcome to EAA Radio. I'm Wireless Mike.
And I'm Paul Pridecker. We're joined by Pete Wentz of the National Transportation Safety Board. Welcome, Pete.
Thank you for having me.
And Pete, what do you do for the NTSB?
I'm a survival factors investigator for the Office of Aviation Safety. So survival factors, seats, restraints, evacuation systems, floor lighting systems, emergency equipment, crew training, that kind of stuff.
All right. And do you primarily work on post-crash stuff and investigating how well that stuff worked, or what do you do with all of that?
Yeah, it all depends on the accident itself. One of my first large launches was Asiana, the 777 out in San Francisco. But there'll be a time where some of our field investigators may have some issues with a restraint or a seat that they want to go a little bit more in depth with. So they call us in, and we then support them in those deals and, you know, maybe do some testing, go back to the manufacturers.
I was going to ask that. As part of your probable cause and the in-depth investigation, do you sometimes then have to go back and interface with the manufacturer on making recommendations for changes and improvements?
Oh, yeah, a lot of times. We'll do testing on in the Asiana accident. We looked at the slides. They had two of the slides that actually inflated inside the cabin on that on that accident. We went back with air cruisers and took a look with the air cruisers team, the FAA. Anybody that was part of our party, you know, we have the party system so that anybody within our survival factors team, you know, they're all invited to come along and take a look. And so we took those slides back, did some dynamic testing on them, and tried to reproduce to get the same kind of deformation in the slide components that we saw off the actual aircraft.
So what did you find out? Was it a error in the equipment, how it operated, error in the design, or in that specific case, was it an error how they used the slide?
Well, so you go back and take a look at how the FAA actually certified the slide to begin with and what, you know, the loads were that they tested it to, and kind of went back and found out that these loads exceeded what the minimums were. So it wasn't that the slide was incorrectly certified or anything to that point, but it was that it took so much stress that, you know, that's where it finally failed. And so we took probably, I think, 8 or 9 slides out to a company in Manassas, Virginia that had a dynamic sled. And we put them on there, and then we just increased the G load until we found that same deformation, and then kind of worked backwards to, okay, how do we take a look at this? And with then the manufacturer, they're right there with you, and they're seeing the same thing you're seeing, and their engineers are starting to go, okay, so maybe we can, you know, beef this up to make it a little stronger, or so on and so forth. But, you know, not everything that you find was a failure that you can, you know, point to say, well, you did this incorrectly or you did that incorrectly, but that, you know, it exceeded what it was tested for.
Right. And then you can go back and are you also looking at possibly reviewing the standards that they need to be tested for?
Well, again, if you find that, you can make a recommendation. You know, of course, the NTSB, we don't make regulations. We make recommendations to the parties that we need to. So maybe the FAA or the manufacturer. And so they go back and then review it and go forward with how they're going to take care of that certain situation.
So when you're dealing with the manufacturer, what kind of buy-in do you normally get? Do they usually look at this and they basically say, yes, we have a problem here and we're going to go fix it? Or do you find that sometimes they need a little encouragement to move forward on some of those processes?
You run into both of those. There'll be times, and I think in the Asiana accident, where during the board meeting it came out that this is a finding, but prior to this board meeting, they actually fixed the problem, and so it's a safety accomplishment. We give them credit for that and applaud them for, you know, taking that step prior to being told. And then there's sometimes where a manufacturer may not want to do it and a recommendation will come out. And, you know, most of our recommendations are favorable and are what we call closed acceptable, but there are some out there that are closed unacceptable. And then there's times where things are going to be changing. So if you make a recommendation in 3 months, it may be changing. And so it's really not, you know, different components come out, different systems or design, and so those things are kind of already taken care of in that next design.
So you've been talking a little bit about an airline accident and some of the issues you face there. Are you dealing with the same issues in general aviation and lighter aircraft, just on a smaller scale then? And what are some of those?
So some of the lighter aircraft I've been involved with were some corporate jet accidents, some Aranca Champ accidents, seat belt restraints, aftermarket products that come in that, you know, maybe weren't at the time the aircraft was designed. They didn't have that type of a restraint system. And now as products have become better and people are building those for these aircraft, then they get introduced to the aircraft. And so then we come out and take a look and say, okay, did that meet the testing standards or certification that they need to have? And so you go back to the manufacturer again with that, or you're going to some places. We were up in Wisconsin, up in Michigan for some of them, and you just kind of drill down until you find where the failure was, or
sure.
or how you know the fault was in it, and you work with them to straighten it out.
And is your team part of the GO team, or are you brought in after the fact to support the investigation?
So we are part of the GO team out of D.C. when we have a major launch.
Sure.
The Asianas or anything like that. On some of our smaller ones, we have our field offices and our field investigators that go out. And so when they see something a little out of the ordinary and want some help in a specialty area, then they'll call in and say, hey, and at times we'll go travel to the site and take a look at it. At times we'll travel to the recovery, aircraft recovery salvage yard where it's being held at, and we'll take a look at it there.
Now, do you also deal with amateur-built or experimental aircraft and looking at restraint systems in crashes of those aircraft?
Yeah, we take a look at them, but it's kind of a different category. As experimental is a different category. So
right, but a lot of the home builders, they pride themselves in their craftsmanship and they want a good product. And you know, one would think that if you had some recommendations that you've seen, some of these people might be interested in seeing those recommendations to build a better product.
I think sometimes you'll see some of the things like that come out in some of our safety alerts. And so if there's something that comes up and gets flagged enough, it could become out in a safety alert so that it's kind of brought to their attention.
Yeah, Pete, I know you're located in the Federal Pavilion. What are some of the questions that the visitors are bringing to you?
Today we've been talking to some folks over there. A lot of people are interested on how to find the information, and so showing them on our website how to drill down and pick up the information, how to find on our public docket maybe the accident report, and then the attachments that go with it. And there's attachments with photographs and the interviews, and a couple of people started getting into the interviews and digging deep into it. And it's usually an individual who knows the airplane or the pilot
sure.
that was involved, and so they have a lot of interest in it. And so, we just kind of give them a path to how to find it. We have some things on display over there, some propellers, CVRs, FDRs, and so they can take a look at, you know, kind of some of the impact that the components would take and talk about that. And then we have just different accidents that come up. We've got a television running with some of the Asiana approach. And kind of talk through that, you know, what was going on, what kind of settings the aircraft was under at the time, and how the throttle levers, and they're showing all of that and
sure.
kind of talking you through as it comes on down. So, and then we have some of our field investigators talking specifically about accidents that they worked. And people are getting that, and then they have specific questions. So,
what about career opportunities at the NTSB?
Well, I think we have a lot of career opportunities. Check the website, the USA Jobs website. Of course, some of them you have to be in the discipline.
Of course.
Maintenance, pilots. I'm a survival factors person. I came from American Airlines for 20 years. I was part of a team that redesigned some of the seats and did the certification on the seats, galley components. I helped deliver about 50 aircraft for the airline. So we went out to Boeing, did the pre-buy on it, did the pre-flight. Did a lot of fun when you can take a 777 around the patch with about six or seven people in it and do, you know, rejected takeoffs and shut down motors it's a lot of fun. So that was kind of my background leading into it.
So you've had a good career in aviation then.
Yeah. After that, I spent about 6.5 years with the FAA doing airline oversight out of Dallas-Fort Worth. Working with some companies, Omni Air International and ATI, that had a lot of DOD contracts. So I was very fortunate to travel some real fun places, Diego Garcia, Kwajalein with our troops, and be on board with our troops all over the world. And it was really an honor.
And if somebody, a young college-age kid said, gee, I'd really like to learn how to investigate accidents, and I think I'd really like to work for the NTSB, what kind of programs should they be looking at?
Well, I think first off, it depends, but if they're the pilot type and they want to go that way, start working on that rating and look at our website. And we offer some training outside out of our training facility in Ashburn, Virginia. The mechanic side, get your A&P, and again, keep doing that, and then working towards that job. And then when you do get that job, don't just stop at being the pilot, but get into the office and try to become the chief pilot or whatever it is, and move your way up and get into those management decisions where you're understanding, working for an airline, of understanding the FOCA programs, ASAP programs, things like that. And the more knowledge you have about it, the better off you are. And at some point, you can, build yourself, your resume up to where the NTSB would maybe say, hey, this guy's got a lot of experience in different areas about aviation and can contribute.
Excellent. Sounds like, so it's a long process to get to where you're at, is what you're saying.
Yes. I think I had about 27 years into it before I came to the board, and I'll be coming up on 3 years in November.
Well, sometimes it takes us a while to figure out what we're going to do when we grow up,
Yeah. Yes, it does.
And sometimes just take the career path is you got to build up all the steps.
Yeah,
so,
of course.
Very, very neat path to get there. Unfortunately, we're running a little bit short on time, but if somebody wants to come talk to you, where are you located on the field again?
We're right, I'm pointing right over here, but I'm on
the radio.
Don't
work well on radio.
We're in the Federal Pavilion over here, so come on over and stop in and ask for me if you'd like, or any of the guys. We've got about five or six guys on the floor today, and we have some presentations going on over in the pavilion as well. So,
your agency is a well-respected group, and we thank you for what you're doing for safety.
Well, thank you.
And we've been joined by Pete Wentz with the NTSB, and I'm Wireless Mike for EAA Radio.